Perfusion was a selected vehicle for this procurement. These are the first plug-in hybrid sedans in the Tollway's fleet. They get a range of about 35 to 40 miles on the battery before the engine would kick in. We plan to evaluate these vehicles, determine how well they perform under the Tollway's operating conditions, and better understand the feasibility to replace traditional vehicles. This purchase keeps us in compliance with the Governor's Executive Order 11 from 2009, which mandates the purchase of hybrid sedans to reduce fuel consumption. The award is recommended to BCR Automotive Group, LLC, doing business as Roush Commercial Truck Center, in a total amount not to exceed $50,296.
Are we buying these two sedans because we need the two sedans, or are we buying them because we're mandated to?
We're mandated to. I think 25% of the vehicles that we purchase, I can't remember if it's 2014 or 2016, have
to be. Well, we're not mandated to buy them.
We need the sedan, but we are under
and complying with the executive order to reduce overall fuel consumption. But there's nothing in the executive order that says we have to purchase these sedans. We want to see if they have a broader application for us at the tollway in our fleet. Right.
Yeah, and John said it. I mean, it's like we want to get these two into our fleet so we can evaluate, you know, is this going to be a solution for us moving forward so we can convert more of our fleet to these hybrid sedans? And we see that this is how things are going. You know, we're committed to trying to reduce our fuel usage, and this is a one strategy that's probably going to be the biggest bang for our buck to get there.
Yeah, we do have an electric vehicle in our fleet, but that only goes about 35, 40 miles, and it doesn't have an engine. So this will give us
a fuel. It doesn't have a gas-powered engine.
Correct.
Right.
So we would have to charge that, and, you know, based on our system.
We would have really gotten ripped off if we didn't have an engine.
Right. Battery-based engine. Right. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
And we did do some outreach. There was only one bid on this. Our fleet manager called several dealerships, and, you know, the general consensus out there was that they didn't want to complete all the state's paperwork and forms just for two vehicles. And this price is really good price, because we were expecting to spend about $38,000 to $40,000 per vehicle. So we are happy about the price too.
Ask our dealer over there, what's a good price, Terry?
Well, I didn't see the invoice on this.
Probably a good answer.
We'll have to look at Edmonds later. Okay, so any questions on number six? Okay. All right, so the seventh and final item that we have this morning is the third out of four renewals for the maintenance of our existing PBX phone system and equipment. It's important to note that after recent discussions with the vendor, if you notice on the summary sheet, they are not committing to the 30% goal that is established for this contract. The current subcontractor that they're working with, though, is in the process of obtaining their DEP certification. The vendor has met this commitment throughout the life of the contract of the 30% goal. So where this contract or renewal is recommended to Structure Technologies Incorporated, doing business as Marin Structure Technologies, in a total amount of $218,393.
I have one question. I'm going to go back.
Yes.
So the vendor, the sub vendor, is the MBE WBE, and they're still waiting certification from the City of Chicago.
No, the CMS, the state.
The state. Okay. So the original notes I had here, the vendor was the subcontracting 70% of the total to a WBE that is in the process of obtaining the BEP certification.
I see. Yeah, they are currently a WBE vendor, but they need to obtain also that certification to get in the BEP program.
And
usually it's an easier process if you're already a WBE.
Okay, and so if they do obtain that, they're going to meet that 30%?
Yes.
If that firm doesn't get it, how do we?
You know, Gustavo and I were talking about this, and I think that we're going to have to request them to add a different subcontractor to meet that commitment.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're doing that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any reason that we couldn't, similar to the way we handle it for construction, accept multiple different types of certifications for these types of services as well? Can we talk a little bit about why we can't do that?
You mean like on construction we accept
DBE,
UCP, MBE,
right.
WBE?
Right.
The BEP certification covers MBE and WBE, and I think is disabled. But in order to do the formal BEP
right, certification.
The formal BEP has a separate component to it, so you gotta go through that in order to be formally consider a BEP.
But is there a reason that we couldn't say, similar to DBE, MBE, WBE goals?
Or to accept, say...
We talked about this before, so I'm
the
trying
city
to
of Chicago,
engage in this conversation.
I think it will be an issue of policy, a policy decision by the Beltway, yes. It could be.
Is that something you'd like us to explore? Is it important that we have the BEP versus allowing multiple different certifications for this? As well as the...
What's the practical impact?
The practical impact is that it would allow us to use a broader net of certified firms,
mm-hmm.
Additional directories, the city's directory, the county's, the UCP directory. Right now, those directories are not they're not used for purposes of calculating the BEP commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be certified with CMS as a business enterprise in order to be part of the BEP goal. So it would enhance the pool of available subs.
The flip side of it though is that for reporting purposes for us, as we
makes
report
it a little more
state,
complex for us.
We wouldn't maybe necessarily get credit for a firm that wasn't certified as a BEP specifically versus one of these other certifications.
That would be the
right towards our BEP spot. That's right.
And there's a
unless they were already certified as a BEP also.
Right.
And there's, as I remember, maybe it's changed, a BEP goal that you're shooting for and you have to do an annual report on how you've done.
Yeah.
So it may be just a, I don't mean to minimize it, but a public perception that we're not achieving the narrower goal, but we may be achieving a broader goal. So
I think we'd also maybe have to get CMS concurrence to be able to do this and talk to our CPO, but maybe it's something that we should look at versus having firms jump through.
We would, but I'm definitely not against it. One reason is that they changed their policy, whereas in the past, the subcontractors, the BEP subcontractors, need to be certified with CMS at time of award. Well, now the policy shifted. Now they need to be certified at the time of the bid. So that concerns me, because in the past, several vendors received that certification after we received the proposals, but before award. And, you know, I think...
But they had maybe had another certification that...
Right,
they
possibly
had made it
right.
through a...
Most of them did have another certification, yes,
right.
You're right. So I'm not against
so
that.
So we should look at it.
Just on that narrow point, to be the devil's advocate, we would be in the same place we were with the contract we just talked about.
Right.
Where we're hoping that they'll get certified, but if they don't, then we have to go back and figure out what to do.
Correct.
But there is some logic to having them certified at the time that you actually accept the bid.
There is. We spend plenty of time on our procurements that we don't have to go back and redo.
Right.
Redo them.
Got
okay, so we'll look at that.
Just, does anybody know offhand what the difference in magnitude is of the BEPs versus everybody else's? I mean, we're talking
you
about
mean in terms of size
the
of the...
Are we talking about doubling the pool that would be eligible? Or we is
that... I'm just giving you an educated guess. It will significantly increase the pool. I can tell you that the number of certified firms in UCP, City of Chicago, Cook County directory is significantly higher than the pool of BEP certified firms. Now, there's some overlap, but significantly.
Do you have any view on
I think it's a lot harder on the smaller businesses to keep getting certifications all over the place mm-hmm. and trying to prove themselves that they're still minority firms. I know Chicago and Cook County are universal,
yeah,
so as long as you're MBE one in one of them. But then, again, if you want to do state work, you got to then file with the state. And usually if you're an MBE or WBE, the BEP is going to...
It's almost like even.
Yeah, at the state level.
But you still have to go through the...
That you always got different expirations on all of them,
yeah.
And you're constantly renewing on the side of the minority firm, and it just kind of gets tough when you're a small firm to keep up with the paperwork. So not to lose a certification in one of those entities, which is whether it's the county, Chicago, or the state.
I was actually in the city-county collaborative meeting last week, and they're making a change where instead of having to go through the whole process every year, now you only have to go through the process, I think it's every fifth year, right? And then every year,
every 5 years.
All you have to do is affirm that you're still the same
right.
as you were. Which
right.
No change.
No
right.
change.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, Director. We hear that comment all the time where vendors say that they're registered and then we look in our directory and they're not. and we call them up, well, you're not registered. And like, well, I filled out and I'm registered with so many different organizations, and it is confusing. So we hear that all the time.
So we'll look at that. But for this one, we'll cross our fingers.
Right. But we will keep our eyes on this.
That's for sure. Any further questions on procurement items 1-7? Any objections to taking these all together? No, they're being done. Then do I have a motion to approve under procurement items 1-7?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and move to the full consent agenda. Thank you, John. Paul, engineering.
Good morning, directors. Engineering has 25 items this morning, 8 new construction contracts, 8 new professional engineering service contracts, 5 construction change orders or extra work orders, 2 final releases of retainage on construction work that's been done and accepted by us, and 2 land acquisition items. I'll start with item number 1. Construction contract award for new bridge. It's a new bridge carrying Rowling Road over the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. Work is going to include widening and reconstructing Rowling and really building a whole new interchange at this spot. We received 5 bids on this contract. I'm recommending award to Lord Construction Company. They're the low bidder at $25,416,537.20. They've committed to meeting our DB goal on this job.
I know Lord has quite a few contracts awarded to him in the last 6 months or so. And I think it's a firm that has, as you would call, unlimited capacity.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as unlimited? Do they reach a point where they don't have the resources to complete the work?
I know for sure that they would not want to bid on a job that they didn't feel that they could complete it, because they don't want to take that risk. They're doing an excellent job right now on their contracts that we have at 294.57, and that is one of the jobs that I'm not experiencing a big delay at the moment due to weather. So we don't have any concerns.
No concerns about this. Yeah, okay.
And we're excited to get this Elgin O'Hare work going. And this is coming a little bit later in the year than we wanted it to, but we're still happy that it's going to start, and we're going to start moving forward with that capital improvement. And that's kind of similar with item number 2. This is also a construction contract award for widening and rehab of the Elgin O'Hare Expressway from Roselle Road to Meacham Road. They are going to be putting in at least the infrastructure for an all-electronic toll collection plaza within this section. We received 5 bids on this contract also. Pody Construction was the low bidder at $16,272,007.45, and they too have committed to exceeding our DB goal on this score. Item number 3, it's a construction contract award. This is for a new bridge. It's going to be actually for half the bridge that we're going to construct at the Elmhurst Road interchange with the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. And this bridge is going to be the first of 2 that we're going to be building there as part of this diverging diamond interchange that we hope to implement. We received 3 bids on this contract. FH Passion SN Nielsen is the low bidder at $4,667,780.25, and they committed to meeting our DB goal.
Engineer's estimate versus the award amount?
Usually the engineers are averaging about 7% above the award amount. We weren't in this case. We attribute that to underestimation on the engineer's part that we are starting this work going into the winter. We do expect it to be winter work, and we do have an aggressive schedule.
So that's how these contractors bid on it, based on the winter schedule and the aggressive schedule.
Yeah, and you see, I like to see that the grouping of the bids we received was pretty close, so all the contractors were viewing it the same way.
And this work was important enough to us that we wanted to go forward with it this year versus pushing it to the next year, or, you know, it was something that we thought was important enough that we wanted to get it done.
Yes.
Exciting. You actually got things moving.
Yes.
At the Elgin O'Hare. Okay. That's great.
All
those non-believers out there will find
it. It's going to happen. Item four is a construction contract award for repairs to two bridges and six culverts. This is on I-80 and portions of the Eugene Adams. We received two bids on this contract. William Charles Company is the low bidder at $2,533,454.37. They committed to meeting our lead eagle, and I will note that they won this job by utilizing the earned credit program points. Item number five, this is a construction contract award. It's for fiber optics relocation work that we hope to perform on our system. Work is primarily going to be performed on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway. We are going to operate this contract as a task order type contract. We received two bids. Pertano Construction Company is the apparent low bidder at $1,273,875. Maybe showing that the PE percentage is under review.
They're compliant. There was a math error that has now been corrected.
Right.
So they're at 20%?
They are at 20. They're at 20.
Just a couple of, yeah,
10
a little bit
point over, above
yeah,
percent.
Tenths of all 20%.
Okay.
These are our fiber optic system.
So we're just relocating our stuff.
Yeah, and the reason why most of it's on Jane Adams, because that's where most of the work is going to be occurring in our system.
Do we have the vendor information? The diversity program detail, there's nothing on my...
We do have it.
Okay.
I do have the corrected info from the vendor. I received it yesterday.
Okay.
So we'll have that filled out and completed before we come to the board next week. But it looks like they are going to be, you know, meeting or exceeding
their compliant
goal.
Yes, they're compliant.
The sixth item is also a construction contract award. They're going to be doing some signage work on our system. They're going to be installing and replacing exit numbering, signage, and lighting, primarily on I-88. We received two bids on this contract. GFS Construction is the low bidder at $3,843,471.13, and they too are committing to our meet our DD goal. Item seven is a construction contract award, similar to item six. This is for doing signage work, installing and replacing exit numbering and signage on the Jane Adams. We received three bids on this contract. Cujo Incorporated is the low bidder at $1,259,985.17, and they are committed to meeting our DBE goal. I'll note that they have been a subcontractor on many other tollway jobs before, and this is going to be their first time serving as a prime on one of our construction contracts. So I know I am saying different names than I normally say, so I think, you know, some of these smaller contracts are producing, you know, new people to work on our jobs.
And we're also looking to see these firms like Cujo and Tristano, also Pertano, right, I'm sorry, qualify for the small business classification. And if they are not currently with that status, we're going to encourage them to go ahead and get it, because that will help them beat a non on the set asides.
Paul, is this new exit? Are they replacing existing, or just new exit numbering we're doing?
Well, on a lot of our on the newer parts of our system, I believe we have exit numbering, and this is one of the comments we received. It actually came in our budget hearing meeting. You know, a gentleman showed up, and this was like his focus. He wants the exit numbering. We know exit numbering is what the national standards require. So as we work on a section, we are converting it and adding the exit numbering to our overhead signs. And I think it's useful for the motorists. They, you know, once they use Google Maps or whatever, it says look for exit 47, and that helps, you know, to see that. So I'm excited to get these two contracts going. I know we already have a contract in progress right now on 355 where they're installing the exit numbering. So we hope over the next couple of years we're going to have exit numbering throughout our whole system. So the first seven items I feel are, you know, complete and the information is there. On the next item, I'm going to present it, but we're going to have to defer it to the board meeting because we have, they have a DB shortfall on this. We are going through the process to evaluate the waiver. It is going to come down to maybe like 2 days before the board meeting as far as the allowable schedule that we need to provide. I'm trying to convince Gustavo to pull an all-nighter with me to get the evaluation done as soon as, you know, they come in with their information. And, you know, one way or the other, you know, we hope to inform the board next week on what the status of this job is. But it is a construction contract award. This is for pavement reconstruction on ramps. It's up at the 120 interchange on the Tri-State Tollway. We got two bidders. Landmark Contractors is the apparent low bidder right now at $2,179,494.79. This would be the first time they would serve as a prime on a tollway contract. And as I mentioned, the Chief of Diversity is reviewing their waiver request.
I guess I don't know how this process works. Do you know at the time that you're making the decision between the competitors whether the second person can meet the DB goal? Or is that not something you discovered?
I asked the project manager to, the engineering project manager to take a quick look at it and forward that information to my staff just to be ready in case we have to declare Landmark's bid non-responsive. So, yeah, we've already put that in motion as well.
And these are low bids, so it's simply opening and looking at the price as the first step.
We already read the price, actually. Yeah. So, yes, that we are getting ready for that. And this is the August board. We know we don't have a big window left within this year. So if it didn't, you know, if we couldn't make it, you know, for this board meeting, we probably would have to defer this work or extend it at least into next year. So.
You feel the pressure of the all-nighter?
Certainly do.
So the next eight contracts are new professional service contracts. Item 9 is for construction management associated with the reconstruction winding on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway from I-39 to Illinois Route 25. Services are going to be provided between Elgin Toll Plaza, actually, and Route 25, and it's primarily focused on our new Fox River bridges on I-90 there. Award is recommended to the joint venture of Homer L. Chastain and Associates and Thomas Engineering Group in the amount of $9,313,745.98%. This is a large contract. It's a very important one for us. This is the one where we anticipated that it was going to actually be let at a higher value than what we normally let contracts. It's in the $100 million plus range. We haven't actually let this contract yet, but I'd like to bring this construction manager on board because they perform an early construction review of the big documents and try to make suggestions on things that might help us save money or implement the project more efficiently. Item number 10 is a new professional service engineering contract. This is also for construction management, and this is going to be on the I-90 interchange at Lee Street. Award is recommended to Engineering Services Group in the amount of $1,999,810.80. ESG, they are an MBE firm, so they will be serving as the prime on this for the first time. They're actually going to be serving as a prime, and they are going to be exceeding the DB goal on this contract. Item number 11 is a professional services contract for reconstruction widening on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway. The selected consultant will provide corridor construction management for a section between the Elgin Plaza and Illinois Route 25, so that's a 14-mile section. Award is recommended. They're also going to perform actual construction management activities for a portion of that section. Award is recommended to Omegan Associates. They are also an MBU firm, so they're going to be serving as the prime on this contract, and the total award amount recommended is $14 million. Item 12 is similar to item number 11. It's a professional service engineering contract. This is for construction corridor management in the section between Illinois Route 53 and O'Hare Airport. That's about a 10-mile section. Award is recommended to the joint venture of AMAC Environment and Infrastructure, along with Jacobs Engineering Group. And they also have an MBE firm, R.M. Chinnan Associates, who is included in this tri-venture. The total award amount is $14,800,000, and they are committed to exceeding our DB requirement on this particular contract. Item 13 is a professional services contract for construction management. They're going to be overseeing retaining wall, noise wall, and bridge widening on the James Memorial Tollway between Illinois Route 53 and Arlington Heights Road. They're going to actually be helping us on some of the advanced work we're going to do in that eastern corridor of I-90. So the part between the Elgin Toll Plaza and O'Hare. Award is recommended to STV in the amount of $2,991,238.02. And they are going to exceed our DB goal.
Only 2 miles?
Yeah, they are going to be working on some of the advanced work, and I believe
I just saw those variations. I said one CM was about 10 miles, and this CM is going to do about 2 miles.
Yeah, you know those CMs that had the full section?
Yeah.
They're actually going to serve as our corridor manager also.
Okay.
So we break down all of our corridors into pieces, and we assign individual designers and individual construction managers to each piece. But to help us coordinate what could be, you know, 8 to 10 different designers or 8 to 10 different construction managers to make sure that we're being consistent and treating everyone the same, we hire one of those firms to serve as a manager for the other one. So it helps us leverage our staff and make sure that everybody's being consistent in how they're treating things, because an issue that shows up in one of the sections has a very good chance of showing up in all the other sections.
So
that's why their jurisdiction is a little straight wider.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Item 14 is a professional service contract for construction management services. This is going to be on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway also, and it's going to be associated with retaining wall, noise wall, and bridge widening. Award is recommended to BCP Tollway Partners. That tri-venture includes Bowman & Barrett, Christopher Burke, and also Premier Engineers. They're an MBE firm. The total amount of this CM work is $3,193,338.69, and they are going to be exceeding the DB goal on this. Item 15 is professional services contract award. This is for design upon request work. We will operate this contract on a task order basis. Award is recommended to ABNA Engineering in the amount of $2,500,000, and ABNA is a DB firm, so they're going to have no trouble meeting our DB goal on this contract.
That's only where they'll sub on another one.
Yes, ABNA, I believe it is an African American professional engineering service firm too. Mm-hmm. Item 16 is an item that I want to request to defer to the board. We are going to be seeking a sole source extension on an existing contract. It's something that we're not taking lightly, and we prefer not to be in this position. We do have an RFP that we're working very closely with procurement, and we think we're going to be advertising that new RFP within days. So this particular contract will be to tide us over until we can bring this new vendor on board. So we're still finalizing the dollar amount, and we hope to come back next Thursday and present this to the full board for approval.
So what will happen to the dollar amount?
Because this RFP is going to be going up, we're going to try to maybe reduce reduce this to absolutely just what we think we need until we can get the new person on board. So it might, what you're seeing here, yeah, it's a what we would normally spend on this service for a year, but we're going to try to get this cut down to at least a half a year.
Well, and I think that there were some elements in here that we still have to evaluate whether they're absolutely needed, since we may end up transitioning, may not, to a different vendor mm-hmm. when the new RFP process is complete.
That's correct.
So is this an example of how procurement, the more laborious procurement process has slowed us down? Had we been planning all along to do this?
We last year, I had specifically worked with staff or talked to staff about the fact that we didn't want to do another sole source here. So it certainly has taken longer. I'm not going to blame it just on the procurement mm-hmm. process. You know, I think that also we have people in our departments who are pulled in a lot of different directions mm-hmm. and have a lot of top priorities, which then, you know, often you do have to ultimately create real top priorities instead of everything being a top priority. So we do have to look at it. It was, I think, good news that the CPO's office didn't hear anything from any other vendors. This had been posted for a sole source hearing. As you recall, that's a step in the process. The CPO's office opted to cancel that hearing because they weren't hearing from anybody that there was going to be a company showing up saying right. that they had a problem with this being a sole source, or would say that there were other vendors that could do this instead of the this one as a sole source. But we obviously, as Paul said, and I know John agrees, take it very seriously, and I think that we'll see this, we're going to see if we can adjust this dollar amount to be a little bit lower in anticipation that we're going to be working very aggressively to get this RFP process done.
Okay. So the next five items are all adjustments to existing construction contracts that we have in progress right now. And because these adjustments are occurring at a dollar value higher than $200,000, in accordance with our policy, I'm going to present them individually to the board and seek your approval on them, and hopefully answer any questions that you might have. This item number 17 is a change order to authorize payment in the amount of $340,000. This is on contract 4075 to Cody Construction. And this is to address, we need additional aggregate material on this contract, and the explanation for why we don't have enough is the design quantity was not correct.
Who did the estimate?
I don't know who exactly the designer was. I can get that. I know, though,
just want to make sure it's not,
that we pushed these designers hard to get these jobs ready for bid. They're going to do better on the westbound contracts.
This isn't the same designer on all the next five items, is it?
No. Okay. What I want you to note, though, is, you know, we did have a quantity in the plans, and we did get a competitive bid on it. So we already have a unit price established. So the tollway is not paying for anything that they're not going to receive. You know, if we want to get more stone, we have to pay that price. This
and we
change,
would have paid it in any contract.
We would have paid it in any of them, and the bidders did it the same way. And we don't believe they've taken advantage of us, because we know the historical bid prices, we know what the other bidders' prices were, and we feel comfortable with this. And that's actually...
And we did go back and look and make sure that none of the other bidders on this job bid a different unit, or bid a different quantity.
Right. No one bids a different quantity.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
Is there an increase in price because it's a smaller quantity now that we need, so we're paying a little bit more?
Sometimes if there's a big change, we try to negotiate at a lower price with them and say, no, some economy of scale. You know. Like I said, we do that evaluation, though, as part of the evaluation of any of these changes.
But this is because we need more quantity.
Yes.
Not we're paying more for less. This is because we need more quantity.
Right.
Is that what your question?
Well, I thought you said if I'm bumping up the quantity
correct.
So much,
right.
are we entitled to an even lower price?
Correct, right.
Okay, sorry.
And we sometimes do that. We sometimes, but it does require negotiation
okay.
with the contractor. And we take that into consideration when we're evaluating the change.
Okay.
And you know my alternative here is don't get it. Put it in a separate contract, which will come on board next year, and that's totally impractical and would cause delays and additional costs to the agency. And we still feel this job is going to finish within the established budget. Item 18 is a change order to authorize payment in the amount of $582,932. This is on contract 4076, which it's with FH Passion S.N. Nielsen and Associates. And what we're doing here is we want to seek to add additional soil treatment quantities to this contract. We're running into a lot of poor soil in this section. Rather than, it's not bad enough such that we have to remove it completely, haul it off-site, fill up a landfill, haul in new material, virgin material, place it on-site. It's not that bad. We have to put some additives into it, though, to make it meet our requirements and specifications. I think this is a great idea, keeping what we have on site and trying to use as much as we can of the materials that are available on site. It makes sense from a cost and a recycling perspective. So I'm recommending that we move forward with this. Item 19, well, this is on the same contract as the previous item, but this is some portion of the soil that is just so poor that we cannot reuse it. So we tried to minimize it as much as possible, but we do have to remove some of it, and we do have to replace it with virgin material. And the amount of this extra work order is $360,800. It's also on contract 4076, and it's also with FH Passion S.N. Nielsen Associates. This was actually in a different area on their project than the previous item was. Item number 20, this is a different contract, similar soil conditions. We're running into these soil conditions in the western portion of I-90. We are seeking a change order to add additional material so that we could treat the soil that we have on site and make reuse of it. It will require us to boost up the quantities to an amount that's going to result in a $298,979.21 increase to this existing contract. I'm recommending that this is the best way to handle this soil and move on with this work in this area. Item 21 is different from all the previous items, and this is on contract 4073, and this is for current contracting company. And this is one of the contractors that is the furthest behind on schedule. They're actually 31 days behind right now. This change order, extra work order, is going to allow us to pay for some premium time and recover at least 19 days on the schedule. So we'll be able to still get this work done this year. They have a very long section to do in this particular contract. So we are recommending that we do this schedule recovery effort and pay these dollar amounts to get them back on schedule. The next two items are final releases of retainage. Item number 22 is a final release of retainage in the amount of $200,000 on construction contract 4034 with the Tri-Venture of William Charles, Plody, and Rock Road Companies. The work is complete. Engineering has accepted it. It meets our specification, and we see no issues with releasing it. And I see that it finished slightly below what our original award amount was, and they are finishing slightly above what their DBE commitment was. So there isn't really any concerns on either point. Item 23 is also a final release of retainage in an amount of $6,766.47. This is on contract 4064 with Home and Tree Service. I know they did tree removal efforts at the 29457 interchange. The contract was completed within budget, and they came in above their original DBE commitment. The next two items are both related to land acquisition, and typically we provide the full board with this information for review, and then I ask you to take action on these items at the board meeting. They are totally related. Well, item 24 is related to complying with the DiBenedetto legislation, and it's concerning parcels on the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. And then item 25 is similar. We're going to add some project identification numbers to our information. for parcels identified with the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway, so that's the I-90 corridor.
You want to defer this to the full board?
Full board. Executive
discussion. Executive session.
Oh, executive session.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything
else you want
to
do? That concludes engineering's items.
Thanks.
So there's a couple in there that have to, we're not asking for an action on today.
Okay. Go back to the beginning. Okay, engineering. If there's any objection to taking items 1 through 7?
Quick question on between items 3 and 4, both of them are bridge construction. And on 3, 4.6 million, we set the DB goal at 17%. And on item number 4, it's a $2.5 million project, and the DB goal drops to 7%. Is there a different type of work that's being done between the two?
I don't think the work varies that much, but I think the geographical location varies, and also that size of the contract is, you know, half as much as the other one. And I think that might have been part of the evaluation.
So if it's because it's a less of amount, we try to reduce the DB goal?
I do know that if it's a small contract, that there's typically less subcontracting opportunities available within that contract. I mean, if we have a DB Prime do the work, it'll be no problem meeting the goal, but if it's not a DB Prime, the other ones will most likely not be able to meet a very high goal.
And has our experience been that if you take geography into account, if you don't take geography into account, can you create more DBE companies in a geographic area? I know we talked about this in Rockford, because I think it was before I got on the board, that they really didn't have a lot of DBEs, and I'm just wondering if you lower your expectations if you don't create market demand. I can't ask this question
I understand exactly what you're asking. I believe I understand it. I don't know that there's any evidence of that correlation. I haven't seen it. So right now what we observed is that the geographical location of the project does impact significantly the ability of a prime contractor to meet the goal. That we're finding out, especially as we roll out these many contracts, especially these smaller contracts, where there's a greater level of difficulty on meeting the goal. So adding to that geographical location makes it, we have to be very careful on how we gauge those goals so that we don't, on the one hand, we don't under-evaluate and put too low of a goal, but also not exceed a realistic expectation.
And ultimately, we have to look to the data.
Right, exactly, and then the data which also tells us what is possible and feasible.
So do you want to take items 1 through 7?
Yeah.
Okay, there a motion to approve items 1 through 7 under engineering?
So
second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full consent, full board meeting. Item 8, we're going to defer to the board. Item 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We'll take those items together. A motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full board consent. Item 14, we have a recusal by Director Darcy. I will make a motion to approve item 14.
Second.
There's a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Item 15. Well, we'll take 15 also. I have a motion to approve item 15.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 16, will we defer to the board, the full board? Item 17, if there's no objection, we'll, item 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, we'll take those together. There a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. 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 Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Item 22 and 23, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Items 24 and 25 under engineering will be discussed in executive session. Okay, thank you. Legal.
Thank you, Director. Good morning. We're going to present six items. The first item, I think there's been a technical change on the agenda since it was posted. It should not be listed as an IGA, but what we call a cooperative agreement, which is between the tollway and a railroad. This case is the Sioux Line Railroad Company doing business as Canadian Pacific in connection with work on Elgin O'Hare. We will be doing some work over a bridge on a bridge structure that spans the railroad's line below, and this is essentially a cooperative agreement where they allow us to come on some of their property. They will perform some acts of cooperation as well, and there could be some nominal costs expected to be picked up by the tollway as they're incurred, not to exceed $150,000 to $200,000 is the current estimate, although I think we have a TBD on there because it's continuing to be worked on. Our item number two is an IGA with IDOT, and this is continuing an existing arrangement that's been in place for the tollway to receive proprietary data from NavTech, a Chicago-based company that provides mapping data. This is used on the tollway's website. Among other reasons, the customers can go on and view different aspects of the tollway system, find out toll spans, what rates are in various segments. Very important that we continue to get this. This will be an extension of that agreement through June 30th of 2016 at no cost to the tollway, which is continuing the current arrangement. Item number three is a very important IGA tollway will be entering with various parties as a result of the 53-120 Blue Ribbon Council that the board has heard about over the recent months and years. This will take a next step in creating a land use and transportation plan for the corridor. This will be an IGA with multiple parties, including CMAP, that will essentially serve as the lead here. The tollway's participation is capped at a maximum of $500,000. And as I noted, a very important plan to look at land use, transportation, and economic activity as a result of Plan 53-120 work.
I have a question. How will they interact with the the current consultant we have, Trans Systems? How will they work together? Would that...
Well, that's a great question. I wonder if one of our team might be better suited.
Well, certainly we think that some of this work can inform some of the things that we look at. Ultimately, Trans Systems is looking at you know, the project budget, scope, you know, making sure that we get to, I think, a little more thorough cost estimate, as well as, you know, traffic projections, and doing some surveying, customer surveying for us of, you know, customer interest in using the facility, you know, different different, I wouldn't say configurations, but, you know, speed, for instance, has been an issue there, and that 45 mile per hour speed is something that I think we'd like to see if customers have an interest in using a facility at that speed. I don't know, Paul, if there's anything else from Trans Systems.
No, it sounded like, I mean, our intent with Trans Systems is to take that Blue Ribbon, you know, report and the actual conclusion and try to do a little bit of additional engineering now to see, you know, if this is going to work.
Right. So I think that to the extent there are changes or revisions that this group would make that may ultimately make it into 53-120 work, I think Trans Systems will end up working, frankly, a little bit more closely with the finance committee that's going to be established here. Not that they wouldn't work with this group, but I think ultimately that will be a also a very close working relationship between those entities.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Item number four will be an IGA with the tollway in the Village of Paperclest. This is cleaning up a process that's been in place for a number of years where essentially can transmit half an acre of property that's considered access to the tollway to the village. They've been desirous of obtaining this. There's been some back and forth about appraisal levels over the last few years, and we've arrived at a recent appraisal agreement of $56,000 for this half acre of property.
The original, that's all we agreed to the village, with the village, has requested to convey the property at a fair market value of $75,000. When was that determined?
That was back in late 2008, early 2009, I believe, Director. And then they did their own at the village, showing a $25,000 level. And obviously, we've come to an agreement in recent months of somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Our item number five is a short-term supplemental IGA with IDA, the Illinois Housing Development Authority. You'll recall that some months ago we entered into a nice partnership with this agency to facilitate some of our land acquisition activities with an expectation that this would provide a nice source of supplemental financing assistance to potential displaced owners. We have a few transactions that may continue to be appropriate for this facility. It did technically expire at the end of July as originally established, so we will extend this out through the end of September to allow a couple, particularly one anticipated transaction that may benefit from this to continue to do so.
And there was number 12, was the number of homeowners that are being assisted? Was it 12 relocations?
Well, Christy, if you want to tell me
I know that there were 12 relocations. I don't know that 12 homeowners have been assisted through this program. I think it's less than that, but there were, I believe, 12 relocations that we were particularly concerned about as part of this, as part of the 294-57 project. So I'd have to get back to you with how many homeowners actually went through this program. I think it might only be just a couple, one or two.
That's what I'd be. Christy, spot on. Thank you. Our last item is what we're calling an electric line easement. We've been in discussions for some time with Commonwealth Edison, as we often do in partnership with them, to allow them to erect above ground electric line structures about 4.5 miles. This will be on the south end of I-355, and ComEd essentially pays the tollway for easement rights. And we've been back and forth and have reached a recent agreement on this particular construction job for them of a $5.2 million payment to the tollway. So this will be improving that arrangement, obviously pulling money flowing to the tollway here.
Two questions. How do we arrive at that number? And then secondly, if there's any realignment of the road or expansion or reconstruction, who's going to pay for the removal or realignment of the ComEd overhead? Are they going to come back in? They'll incur the cost, or will they incur the cost?
Perfect. So, Paul, I know our land acquisition team has taken the lead on the financial negotiations. I know I've watched it from the side, but I know this 5.2 number we believe to be a fairly heavily negotiated number that we're comfortable with. I don't know if you have.
It is. This has been an ongoing negotiation with them and discussion with them over a couple of years. We do an appraisal. They do an appraisal. There's a lot of back and forth with that. This is on the south extension. It is up near the right-of-way line. And we don't anticipate even an additional lane being needed anytime in the very near future. So I know it will not have any impact if we did widen it. Right now we're operating pretty well out there, and it's maybe even a little underutilized. But I believe also, and we can check this. Typically, they relocate at their cost. If there is going to be a tollway impact associated with it, but I got to make sure that the language is in this. I believe it is.
Okay.
Well, it's our standard language.
So it is standard.
It certainly is. If there's further need for us to do some work, there will be no cost to the tollway associated with any moving of ComEd's materials or structures here.
Well, at their cost. Who was the appraisal? We used an appraisal company, or how was it done?
We do. We use
an income approach, or what approach should we use on the appraisal?
We'd have to get those answers for you.
Okay.
Now what was the approach on the appraisal?
They looked at the comparable sales. They also did a discounted cash flow. Looking at it as industrial property.
It wasn't in-house though, right? It was a consultant.
We used a consultant for.
And ComEd did their own appraisal.
They did theirs, yes.
So this is not dissimilar from what we would do for private property or something owned in a trust or a corporation when we actually replace it out.
No. You know, and we have a very strong and cooperative relationship with all the utilities along our system. And, you know, we have a transportation primarily corridor, but it does lend itself to a lot of utility usage also. I am reading the language here. It does that they say that ComEd would have to relocate at its sole expense once we notify them that we have a conflict with some work. So there really isn't any exposure to the tollway with respect to that. On all of our construction jobs, either NICOR or ComEd is involved with them. They're doing relocations to support our work. So, you know, we deal with them in good faith, and we recognize that our corridors also have a lot of properties that they're interested in as far as, like, providing a nice straight shot to transmit, you know, either, you know, whatever utility they are in charge of.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions on these items one through legal, items one through five?
On item number, legal item number four, that's a picture exactly where that's at, but that's coming off of Halsted, is not Hazel Crescent. It's a village, oh, it's a village of East Hazel Crescent. Also, it's on the item number four, it says here Village of Hazel Crest, yeah. So, but you do got it right on the agenda. Because there's an East Hazel Crest and Hazel Crest. So the frontage road that goes along Halsted right now belongs to the tollway. And are they responsible for the upkeep of that frontage road?
I can check on it. It appears at least a portion of that property is ours, yes.
And if I'm correctly, that frontage road goes into some public storage facility, if I'm not mistaken. And how does that work when we convey a road like that to a municipality?
Yeah, I'd have to have our Land Act pro come and talk to you on specifics there.
Is this something that's a priority that we have to move on to pretty quick?
We've been talking about it since 2008, so I don't know if that could be a priority for us.
Did the road used to belong to the village, and we took it because we thought we were going to use it, and now we're giving it back to them?
I'm sorry, Chair. I don't have the historical background in it, and we're happy to defer to the full board if you want some of these questions answered next Thursday.
Please.
We could easily deal with it that way. Would that be more helpful?
Yeah, that would be great.
We'll have Joanne on call. So let's do that.
Okay. So item four will be deferred. So there's no further questions or objections. We'll take under legal items 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 together. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Any unfinished business? Any new business? And then we're going to go into executive session, so we're going to need a motion to do that.
We would recommend a motion to proceed to executive session pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically sections 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining at the tollway, section 2C6 to discuss matters related to leased property owned by the tollway. And Chair, I apologize, I forgot to check whether we would need to discuss any items under 2C1 related to personnel issues. Chair Wolf or Chair Peterson.
I don't think.
Okay, so just the two items, 2C6 and 2C2, please.
Motion to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? We are now in executive session. We'll take about a 10-minute break. Is that good? Okay.